Good afternoon. Welcome to worship here at Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church in Grafton, Wisconsin. Hopefully I'm reaching a number of our regular members. Thank you for being able to join us here on our podcast/streaming format. And maybe some of you aren't members at Our Savior. Certainly I want to welcome you as well. We're going to be following our order of worship, which is pretty typical for your typical Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, but some of you, it might be a little bit different. So if you look on our website, you should be able to find a copy of the bulletin that you can follow along with. I will naturally be reading the whole section for you, just so that you can get a feel for that as well. So this evening, this afternoon, or this morning, whenever you're listening to it, this is a celebration and a study on the fifth Lenten service. And in our series, we're talking about the warrior. Last week, we had the recon report on the situation. And today, we're going to take a little bit closer look at the rejected warrior, who's Jesus, who's doing this work. And I ask that God bless us all as we meditate on his word a little bit further. With that, we're going to turn and use our bulletins and begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Be our light and scatter the darkness, and hear our evening word of praise. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God created us to know joy in communion with him, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation. And so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. By our sin, we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under his judgment, but to turn to him and live. Therefore, God in his mercy has sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take our place under the law, to suffer for us, and to die the death that we deserve. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Looking to him alone for forgiveness, let us confess our sins and receive his forgiveness in these words from Isaiah. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. You have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses, says the Lord. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more, says the Lord. Let us confess our sins to our gracious God. We confess, Lord, that we have failed to praise you for your glory or thank you for your goodness as we ought. We have placed our trust in self and wealth rather than in your promise and power. Let us confess our sins against others. We confess, Lord, that we have hurt others with our pride and our indifference. We have not loved those who are discouraged or provided for those who are in need. Forgive us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. We continue with the Passion History. The Passion History comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Mark. We're starting at chapter 26, verse 69, and we will continue into chapter 27. This is Peter disowning Jesus. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know this man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. This is the Passion History. God's word for our further consideration comes to us from the Gospel according to St. John, verses 66 through 68 of chapter 6. We're going to pull in some of the surrounding verses for context as well. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. Grace, mercy, and peace to you through Christ Jesus, our victorious Savior. Amen. There's an old saying, "The pen is mightier than the sword." And the idea behind that is that words have power. They can create contracts, even countries. They can paint pictures. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was a dark and stormy night. And they can even bring about almost immediate reaction. "Sweet Caroline. Did you do it? Maybe someone around you? Maybe in your head?" Words have power. Words can also disappoint. Maybe even words you didn't say. One of my children really likes to say, "Well, you promised when I didn't." And then suddenly words that I never said fill him with utter disappointment. The words of Jesus disappointed some of the people of his day. In fact, his words even caused the Jewish people and some of his own disciples to reject him. And today we're going to look a little bit closer at this rejected warrior going to battle. He was ghosted, but he gained victory. This section of John, the latter half of chapter 6, is called the Bread of Life Discourse. It's one of the more memorable sections of Jesus' teachings. And this talking about bread really makes a lot of sense because the first part of chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. We're right on the heels of that miraculous event. And so the image and dream of setting Jesus up as some bread king for Israel is running rampant like wildfire. And the hope that they could set Jesus up and overthrow Rome, well, this was a great idea, they thought. Of course, that was not a promise that Jesus ever made. He proved that he loved the people who were following him by taking care of their physical needs in a really miraculous way with the bread and the fish and providing them lunch. And he proved that his love is super abundant by providing 12 baskets full of leftovers, but nothing more. In fact, he withdrew shortly after the event to distance himself so that hopefully they would distance themselves from this bread king idea. But as they found him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum, it really hadn't gone that far. And so Jesus began to teach them from what they had just experienced, from something they already knew, into deeper truths. He even called them out specifically on why they had sought him. He said in verse 26 of chapter 6, "I tell you the truth, you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And this is the start of the lesson. As Jesus continued, that same tone is woven through each section. Look away from your bellies and look towards the life that only comes from the bread of life. And there followed really some pretty weak questions. The typical, "What must I do to be saved?" followed by, "Well, what miracle can you show us?" And can you imagine the look on Jesus' face at hearing that one? "I just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you want another miracle?" And after that look came the dismissive question of, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" The one valid question that came was at the end of the section where they asked, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And his answer of clear truth for the moment was that his flesh and blood were real food and drink. And that caused his followers to grumble yet more. And Jesus seemed to have had it. In fact, he even said to them in verses 61 and following, says, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Finally, he told them all that no one can come to me unless the Father enabled him. And that did it. That was enough of the harsh and very clear words. It was just too much for them to take. Now, they had heard in that time in the world, they had heard of an event called the Bacchanalia, which was a Greek and Roman pagan production that used wine to represent blood. But it really was just an excuse for drunken debauchery. So I don't think, though they started to grumble at that section, I don't think that was really too much for them, too much of an image. I think what really got these people was the statement that the only reason that they could come to Jesus was because the Father enabled them. It took away their power. In the words that Jesus was very clear about, they didn't choose to come to Jesus. The Father enabled them. And that, those were words that the people had not hoped for. Those weren't the words that they wanted to hear, and they weren't the words that they were going to stay for. They became disappointed with the words that Jesus never said. So they ghosted him. They got up and without a word left. There was still so much to go through with Jesus, as you and I well know. There were healings, there were teachings, there were confrontations, and of course the resurrection. All of the amazing things that they had seen, they had already experienced with him, and then this one hard teaching, and they just gave up. Gone. Ghosted. Wow. But how harshly can we really condemn these former disciples? Sure, we want to get righteously indignant with them, but let's look at the plank in our own eyes. The truth is, there are times when we ghost Jesus too. We may show up for church, and we may even be part of this setting a good example by utilizing the new format of worship that we have right now, but remember that God came to Elijah in the whisper? In the quiet moments, in the non-breathtaking moments, are you with Jesus? Are our words of confession as powerful then as when we first made them? We may be good about bold statements in big moments, but actually choose different paths in the quiet times, when we think no one is looking, when no one could know. When we think it isn't important, but you know what? It really isn't like the devil to use the big moments to lure the followers of Jesus away. He didn't come after the feeding of the 5,000 with another giant, miraculous-seeming event, something larger to pull them away. No, he fuddled with their working through the hard teaching of Jesus. He used the moment of teaching, and then sometimes he'll provide the idea of, well, this is just too hard, or it really doesn't matter. So I ask you, where do you reject Jesus? That's harsh language, isn't it? But Jesus doesn't mess around in John chapter 6. He uses harsh language. He speaks clearly. So let's follow his example. When we choose our own path, we reject His. We reject Him. We are told to be mindful of our words. I've rejected there. I've said things that I should not have said. We are told to be loving. And I've rejected there. I've gone into some meetings with people with a feeling of dislike. We are told to place God first in our lives, and I've rejected there. I've set other things on the throne in my heart. The truth is, at some teaching, we all have found it too hard. Either too hard logically to process or too hard to live out as God's word describes it. So we have rejected Him and gone our own way. One of my high school teachers, Professor Dewan, handed out a sheet on the first day of class, and it was on integrity. Doing the right thing even when no one is watching. And he used it as a means to curb cheating on tests and homework, but the lesson that Professor Dewan gave there really goes so much further. You see, when we claim the name of Christian, we claim something enormous. We claim that we are in Him and will follow Him and His teachings. These words have power. But we have failed that claim. We have lost spiritual integrity. We have chosen our own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all have ghosted and rejected the hard teachings of Christ, even in small ways. But those small ways to God are big things. The tree that is felled is done a piece at a time. The axe removes a chunk here and a chunk there. The saw takes a whole bunch of little pieces in rapid succession. Little rejections can have big consequences. Those who left at this point in Jesus' teaching lost their connection with Jesus. And they lost life. But Jesus didn't go anywhere. He remained. He remained true to His word and focused on His task to defeat the powers that tempt people away and keep them separated from God. He remained so that those who said too hard might be able, through the enabling of the Father, to come back, to eat the bread of life and be joined with Him in His victory. That the Lord is wanting this connection is evident in His question, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" This is the question that is sure evidence from Jesus' own lips that He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This style of question that Jesus used is it's asking a question in such a way that He wants a negative answer. No. No, they will stay. No, they will learn. And Peter gives such a wonderful and inspired answer. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is no other name under heaven by which men shall be saved." And the 12 would be connected to that life, into that life-giving bread. See, life is attractive. It's a beautiful thing. Put a baby in a room with a bunch of people, and it won't take very long at all for that little baby, so full of life, to gather most, if not all, of the attention. And of course, we're experiencing that in really unique ways for us now. As we're all trying to be safer at home, we're all still attracted to life and wanting to live it together. And so Facebook Live concerts are going on. Artists are sharing intellectual property so that we can experience life together in this period of isolation. Life is attractive. And that is Christ. Though there was nothing about him physically that anyone should notice him or be attracted to him, in him was life. And people came. And when you're pulled into Christ, when you experience life with him, you are tapped into his work and you are tapped into his victory. And his victory is what overcomes our rejections. Look at the story of the rich young man in Mark chapter 10. As this man was brought face to face with his own rejections, his own shortcoming, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him all the way to the cross. He looks at us who come face to face with our own shortcomings, our own rejections, and he loves us to that same cross. He loves us all the way to the throne of God and says, "These are mine. They aren't perfect. Forgive them for my sake. They are mine." And he took up his life again on Easter morning as a confirmation that the life he promised in his flesh and blood is a life that death can have no power over. It can't keep him down, and it can't keep those who are his down. And that right there is why we follow Jesus. We don't follow out of guilt or fear of punishment. No, we follow out of love. This rejected warrior has won life and eternity for us. It stands as our inheritance from his loving hand. And out of loving thankfulness, we respond in faith that we are his followers, and therefore we will reject our rejections and strive to be his in all situations. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory." That righteousness is life. That life comes from Christ, and you know Christ through his word, and his word enables and empowers you to face all things with hope and joy. For in Christ is life, forgiveness of sin, and ultimately peace. Christ, who has and is the word of life, is our warrior. He stood up and fought for us, laying down his life. And there's no greater love than this. His love now inspires us to be connected to him and live for him. He has the words of eternal life, and he has given it to you. Those are powerful words. More than any others, The powerful Word of God brings connected life to you. Jesus did that through His work of salvation where He was rejected. But this rejected warrior, though he was ghosted, has brought life to you. He has connected you to His victory over death and made you His own. In that wonderful knowledge, we too can say that there's no better place to be. Amen. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Amen. At this time, we continue in the bulletin with prayers. Heavenly Father, source of all life, physical and spiritual, we who are beneficiaries of your grace thank you for rescuing our lives from sin and death, from joylessness and uselessness. We call the span of our life our time of grace. Forgive us if we have interpreted that expression as merely the grace we have experienced, for our lifespan is also the time you've allotted us for sharing your grace with others. Move our hearts to use the talents and resources you've entrusted to us in the unfinished business of rescuing lost souls. Encourage us to mentor the next generation of servant leaders and loving witnesses for the task of building Jesus' kingdom. When we get caught up in either the pleasures or the troubles of this world, call us back to an appreciation for what matters with a focus on Jesus' cross. Give us a sobering understanding of the seriousness of sin so that we abhor what distorts your will for our life. Give us joyful appreciation for your mercy so that our lives become the song of praise others hear. If we must suffer, then give us the patience and courage of our Savior. When our trials become greater than we can bear, replace them with your peace and your promise. Dear Lord Jesus, you have our eternal welfare in mind and heart, even as this health crisis lays one uncertainty upon another in front of us. We ask that you bless your church here at Our Savior and throughout the world during this critical time of isolation. Where your people are scared, give them peace. Where your people are sick, give them your spirit of faith for strength, for endurance, and for healing. Where your people are uncertain about the future, remind them through your word that you have every intention of guarding them, guiding them, and growing them. As Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse 11, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Merciful Father, continue to comfort the Brick family. Their son, Ben, age 43, died unexpectedly. And Pam Vroman and her family as her mother was taken home to you. Secure them in your love, heal their wounded hearts, and remind them of your grace even in this time of grieving. Great physician, we pray for Dave Speets, who has become sick with some concerning symptoms. Protect him from further suffering and deliver him from any serious harm. Along with that, Lord, we pray for Carol Berg, who has returned to the Grafton Hospital once again with pneumonia. We ask for your continued care. Enable her immune system to fight against the invasive foe and to win for her the ability to breathe easily again. And Lord, in her compromised state, please keep her safe from this COVID-19, which she does not have. Loving God, we pray for Andrew Bublitz to be able to heal while he's in a medically induced coma. hear the many prayers that have come before you on his behalf, and if it is your will, allow him to heal and return home to his family. Lord, we conclude this time of prayer with the words our Savior gave us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This concludes our Lent 5 worship for Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church in Grafton, Wisconsin. I want to thank you for your time and your attention. I really appreciate you joining us, or joining me. It's always a pleasure of mine to share God's Word. I want to give a couple real quick announcements. We're going to keep posting these videos, and they're going to be either as a podcast or uploaded directly to YouTube to try and generate some more content there. I want to remind you, if you stuck with us for this far, that we also have our single service on Sunday morning, a live stream at 9:30 a.m. You can check that out on either the YouTube site or on our website, which is oursaviorgrafton.org, oursaviorgrafton.org. Please join us that time as you are able. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your devotion to your God and to the ministry that he has set about. Thank you for continuing to support us in his work. God be with you as you reject the rejections that you're tempted to, and stay connected to your life-giving, rejected warrior Savior. Until we meet again, God be with you.